switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. I trust you are ready for this week's Netcast. I know it's a little bit different this week. We have a different venue, a little different microphone set up, but hopefully it will be good and clear, and you'll be able to hear a little better than maybe we've had it in the past. So that's a good thing. We are going to pick up right where we left off last week, talking about how to use God's kind of faith. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't heard the earlier netcasts on this topic, go back and listen to those. And don't just come in today, so to speak, cold, because you will have missed all of the information prior to this that will make today's netcast make a whole lot more sense. So go back and listen to those if you haven't, or if you haven't, at least plan to. And we'll pick up today with that. I really encourage you to go back and get that information, because we are picking up right in the middle of where we left off. I don't want to do any review today if we can help it. So let's go back to Mark chapter 11, where we left off, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, the whatsoever things you desire is what I want to pick up with this week. Because a lot of people say, you know, using your faith to receive things that you desire is selfish and is basically not godly. Well, the thing is, God wants us blessed. He has blessed us with all blessing, all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he's given us, the scripture says, all things richly to enjoy. Now, when he said he gave us all things richly to enjoy, he's not talking about, just heavenly things. Matter of fact, he's talking about all the things we have here on the earth. So giving us all things richly to enjoy. Let me just quote the exact scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, let me ask you this. Before we go any further, rich in this world. Isn't that pretty clear? All right. So he's giving an admonition to those that have a lot of finances, that have a lot of wealth, financial blessing, if you will, in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who, here it is, giveth us. Now, let's take this apart. God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, lest you think that's being pulled out of context, let's read the context again. Charge them that are rich in this world. So he's talking to people that have financial things. The things he's talking about here are every and the whole, all manner of things. That's what the Greek says there. To enjoy. That is to have full enjoyment. Apollosis in the Greek. So we're not talking about a mistranslation here. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Now, what about richly? Plosiose is the Greek word. It means copiously, abundantly, and richly. So, again, we don't have a mistranslation. We don't have a misunderstanding. God wants his people blessed. God wants his people to have things. Now, as the scripture here says, I'm not ignoring what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying, don't let things have you. He's charging them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. High-mindedness has nothing to do with the things you have. High-mindedness has to do with your attitude toward those things. You can have a bad attitude and have not a penny to your name. You can be poor as dirt and have a terrible attitude. Matter of fact, I know a lot of people that are not well off financially, and they do have a bad attitude. As a matter of fact, the attitude they have is, why doesn't the government provide me with everything I need? You know, that's a bad attitude. You can essentially make a quality decision to do the things that are necessary to achieve a better life in this world. And particularly if you do it with God's help, because he gives you all things richly to enjoy, get your attitude right, and God will give you the things that people seek after. Now, this is a mindset change for a lot of Christians, because Christians have been told throughout the years, mainly from Eastern mysticism, because from the Eastern mysticism and Eastern religions come this idea that poverty and lack of things in the natural will somehow enhance you spiritually. That's just not true. It's not biblical. Matter of fact, if you look at the Old Testament, you know, the Jews in the Old Testament, have you ever seen a Jewish person who thought that being poor was a good thing? Now, I'm not casting any aspersions at all. Bless their hearts. They understand God's financial system. They understand how it is that they're supposed to operate financially. They know they're supposed to be above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. They know what God has for them in this world, and they're operating in it the way they should. So praise God for that. But the thing about it is, Eastern religions introduced long ago the idea that not having things would make you more spiritual, that would put your mind up on higher things. And on the face of it, that sounds somewhat reasonable. Well, if I'm not so involved in my natural things, then I'll be more spiritually minded. Well, here's the thing about that is, people who don't have things, they tend to be the people who are after things. They're after, I need food, I'm starving, you know, I need shelter, I don't have shelter. They're more things oriented if they don't have things. But if you have the things you need in the natural, then, to be honest, you have time to be more spiritually directed. So let's think about that. That's reasonable too, isn't it? But see, this whole Eastern mysticism mindset has gotten into the church. See, in today's church, I'm not sure Paul would have written Timothy and said, charge them that are rich in this world. You know, more likely he'd have said, you know, those poor guys, let's get them something to eat. No, but there were people in the church, believers, who were rich. And why were they rich? Because God had richly given them all things. So, don't be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. See, that's the other side of the coin here. People get some financial wherewithal, and what do? They start trusting in the financial wherewithal. They start trusting in the riches. They start trusting in, well, I've got enough money, I can do what I need to do. Well, that's great, but you need to always keep yourself centered on who gave you those riches. It's God that has given us the ability to get wealth. It's God that has richly given us all things. So keep your mind on him. Don't be high-minded. And then notice what it says that we mentioned there. God who richly giveth us all things to enjoy. Now let's go back to the verse we started with here. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. Them what? Them things. Now, I know that's not good English, but you get my point. When you go to believe to receive a thing, then you have to believe you have already received it by faith. And then ye shall have them. Them what? Them things. That you believed, that you received. So the only way you're going to have the thing, the only way you're going to have manifestation, is to have already believed that you have already received. You may say, but you know, that just sounds like I'd be lying if I said I had something that I didn't have. You're acting on this scripture in faith. Mark 11:22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have God's kind of faith, the Greek says, or have the faith of God. We're using God's faith the way God used it. Remember what we said in our very first video netcast that we did, and that is God used his faith to create the universe by saying, let there be light, or light be. The moment he said it, just at that split instant, light wasn't yet. But he said, light be, in the present tense, and then light was. He said it, and it came to pass. The same thing we have to do. We have to say it, and then it will come to pass. We're using God's faith the way God used his faith. Now, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, remember we talked about, you got to be a whosoever that says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, which is a thing, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, the heart is the human spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, you live in a body, if you shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. So you have to speak the end result. You have to speak it based on the word of God. When you do that, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. See, again, a lot of people get bent out of shape about this. I shouldn't desire things. Let's just stop a minute and think about what that statement has said. If you don't desire a thing, you're not going to pray and you're not going to confess that you have the thing. You've got to have a goal before you go about achieving the goal. Now, what does Hebrews 11:1 say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you've got to have a goal before faith can give it substance. Now faith is the substance, and the Greek there is the giving of substance to, the things hoped for. The word hope is elpis in the Greek, which means expectation or anticipation. You have to have an expectation. Now, matter of fact, the full translation is a constant favorable expectation or anticipation. If you don't have a favorable expectation, that's really not hope. That's worry and fear and concern. But if you have a favorable expectation, that is Bible hope. See, we tend to use the word hope and use it in a way that's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of esoteric, you know? It's kind of, I hope so. Well, that kind of hope is not Bible hope. Bible hope is expectation or anticipation. It is to believe that something is going to happen from someone that you have great trust in. If you trust in God, then you believe that what he has promised, he is able also to perform it. So you have expectation. Your expectation is your goal setter. The thermostat on the wall, when you set it to a certain temperature, if you think about it, the thermostat itself does not cause the room to get cooler if it's a hot day. The thermostat sets the goal of the temperature you want to achieve, and then this huge air conditioning system comes into operation and begins to cool down the house until it achieves the goal that you set with the thermostat. The thermostat is just the goal setter. Your hope, Bible hope I'm talking about here, constant favorable expectation, your hope is a goal setter. Faith gives substance to the hope or the goal that you have in mind. So you've got to simplify this, go back to the scripture we were reading. In order to have a thing become manifest, you've got to desire the thing. You've got to have a goal. You have to have something that you have set before you to believe for. If you don't set the goal, you're never going to achieve it. I mean, that's just common sense. If I just sit around all day and do nothing and I'm totally lazy, I will never achieve anything. There's not going to be anybody saying, wow, look at this guy. He's really got it together. He's just a couch potato. He's doing nothing. But who are the people that the world do look at and admire and acknowledge? Those are the people that set goals, they work toward those goals, and they achieve things. Now, that's just in their power. But see, we're not operating just in our power. We're operating in the power of God. We're operating in the faith of God. We have the ability to use God's faith. Jesus said so. He said, have the faith of God, or take God's faith and use it. Now, here's how you do that. You got to say. You got to speak. And in order to do that, prior to that, you have to have set a goal. So in terms of operating by faith, first thing you got to do, set a goal. Get your hope. I'm talking about Bible hope, constant favorable expectation or anticipation. Get it out there. Then begin to speak the word of God concerning that thing that you're believing for. You don't know what it says? Go find out what it says. The Lord reminded me of something this past week as I was studying some things. He told me, he says, you know the great thing about my tests? And let me back up just another step. I was reading the scripture where it says that we should rejoice when all the tests and the trials come. And, you know, that's counterintuitive because people look at tests and trials and say, man, I don't want to go through a test and a trial. But the scripture says, count it joy. That's not being weird and saying, you know, be a masochist and enjoy the problem you're going through. No, it's saying count that situation joy. Why? Because God's going to deliver you out of that situation. He always delivers you if you will operate by faith. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, but only if we operate in Christ Jesus. Okay? So anyway, the point is, I was thinking about tests and trials. And the Lord said, you know, the great thing about my tests, they're all open book. When you were in school and you were told today's a test day and you went, oh man, I don't want to take a test. But then the teacher said, and it's an open book test. You went, all right, I can find the answer in the book. I just read it, you know, a couple of days ago. So, hey, you get the book, you flip through it, you find the answer, you write down the answer, you're done. What kind of test is that? It's easy. Same thing with the kind of test we're talking about. It's an open book test. If you don't know where to find the scripture concerning the issue that you're dealing with in life, just go open the book. All of God's tests are open book tests. So open up the book, find the answer, pray the answer, put it in your mouth, speak it, and ye shall have whatsoever you say. You'll have manifestation. All right, let's go back and see the scripture again clearly. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, you set the goal. When you pray, you found what it says in the scripture. You're returning God's word to him. Isaiah 55 talks about God's word, when it's returned to him, will accomplish that which he pleased in the earth. Return God's word to him. So you open your book, you got the answers, you prayed, then it says, believe that you receive them. When do you believe you have received? When you pray. You don't believe you receive when you get it. That's no longer believing. That's just manifestation. That's reality that you've got it in your hand. You can touch it. You can see it. There's no faith in that. Faith is the giving of substance to the things you have expected or anticipated, the constant favorable anticipation or expectation. So you've got to believe that you receive when you pray, and that's before the manifestation. And then what's the next verse, part of the verse say? And ye shall have them. In other words, there could be a period of time between the amen and the there it is. That's what Jerry Savelle talks about. Between the amen and the there it is. Now, last week I mentioned the guy that I heard teaching who said he was waiting for the man from the station. The manifestation. Well, there's something to do between the amen and the there it is. And that's stand in faith. Stand on the word of God. Make your stand and don't withdraw from it. The scripture says that if you draw back, God is not pleased with those who draw back. So, you've got to make a stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. There's a lot of people that get tired of the standing part. They get tired of the, and I'm going to say something here that's not entirely, you know, scriptural in the sense of what we're talking about here, but the waiting. They feel like they're just waiting. You're not just waiting, you're standing. You're affirming the word of God. You're confessing the word of God. You're believing the word. You're not just waiting, but it feels that way. Well, don't be moved by your feelings. Only be moved by the word of God. You know the great thing about the word of God? It doesn't change. It's always the same. And it's always going to say the same thing. When you look at it tomorrow, it will say just what it said the day before yesterday. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Well, in the same way, you know, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. So we could take that phrase, Jesus Christ the same, and we could substitute the Word of God because He is the Word made flesh. So let's do that. The Word of God is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's not going to change. Now, there's people out there that want to change it. There's people out there that want to remove whole chapters from the Bible because they don't like what it says. I don't care if you don't like what it says. It says what it says. It's the Word of God. He's not changing His mind. He's not a man that He should lie. Therefore, the Word is what it is. It says what it says. You can count on it. Matter of fact, you can count on the Word of God when you can't count on anything else. The entire universe is being upheld by the words of God's power, the scripture says. So the word of God maintains the universe. Certainly you can trust it for this thing that you're believing to receive. And I don't care what the thing is. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's financial blessing. Maybe it's some, maybe you need a new car. I don't know. Doesn't matter. The point is, whatever the thing is, you have to have a goal for it. You have to find scripture to believe for whatever that thing is. You have to put that in your mouth and you have to say it, not mumble it, not just think it. You have to say it. You have to speak to it. When you do this and when it's in your heart in abundance and it comes out of your mouth, then you shall have whatsoever you say. That's how this process works. Now, what I want to do in upcoming netcasts, I want to get into the, okay, how do I get it in my heart in abundance? Because that's a key point. You've got to have it in your heart in abundance. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to get into that next week as we continue the message. In the meantime, I want you to write me, DRBILL, Dr. Bill, at WOFM.org. That's Word of Faith Ministries. First letter of each word, WOFM.org. And by the way, ORG means we're a nonprofit organization. If you would like to contribute to Word of Faith Ministries, if you look on the website, WFM.org, you will find in the upper left-hand column at the top, there's a little button there, donate. You can donate to the ministry. We appreciate that. We believe you receive the full 100-fold return on your giving, and that will give us the finances we need to continue to expand the ministry and do a lot of things that God has for us to do. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider that. And I do want to hear from you. So write me, Dr. Bill, DRBILL, at WOFM.org. Join us again next week. And remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.